Never can I assume that just because somebody is able to use Christian words that they're on their way to heaven. Never can I assume that because somebody makes a profession that they are Christians, that they are indeed on their way to heaven. Never can we just assume that because somebody is devout, like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, that they're on their way to heaven, or because somebody prays like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, because he prayed so much that they're on their way to heaven. Let me ask you, are you on your way to heaven? Do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt? Could you take your Bible and show me from your Bible and say, Pastor, this is how I know I'm on my way to heaven. I don't back it up with how I feel. I don't back it up with what some preacher said. I back it up from what the Bible has promised me. Could you do that? Have you ever talked yourself into believing something about yourself that wasn't true? In other words, have you ever deceived yourself? Have you ever deceived yourself about a job you thought you were going to get, that you were probably the number one pick, and you had this, you were so excited and you got passed over? You deceived yourself. Were you ever thinking when you played sports that I'm going to be a starter? Because of the way the coaches complimented you and so forth, and you thought, wow, I'm definitely going to be a starter. That happened to me my senior year in football. I played my heart out. 6'2", 147 pounds. A bean pole out there. But there came the time when the coach said, we're going to have challenges. Who wants the challenge? Chris McGill for defensive end. Well, I was a defensive end. I thought, this is my senior year. I'm going to do it. And they'd gather all the guys around, and we get down in our four-point stance, and we'd have to drive the other. He'd say, you're on defense, you're on offense now. Defense, you need to get through him. Offense, you need to block him. And now all the guys are standing around, the guys who are challenging each other. I challenged Chris McGill. Bulky, meaty guy. That whistle blew. I blew him out. He was shocked. Guys were cheering. Adrenaline's flowing. Had to do it three times. Next two-point stance, I'm looking him in the eyes. I can tell this guy, he was surprised, and he ain't going to let this happen again. I blew him out again. Third time, he got me. He blocked me. Then it changed. I'm on offense, he's on defense. I thought, I got this. But then he won. I thought I was going to be a starter. I had deceived myself. Have you ever deceived yourself about a pay raise? The point I'm trying to make is, folks, we are deceiving ourselves all the time. When we think of our abilities, when we think of what we can do, we deceive ourselves. And I'm drawing a parallel here. You can deceive yourself about going to heaven. And there, I believe, are thousands, millions, billions of people today who are thinking that they're on their way to heaven when they're not. You see, the term Christian is very loosely thrown around. There are many who say that they're Christians who aren't. They have talked themselves into believing that they're going to heaven. They've deceived themselves. Well, what makes somebody a Christian? In your Bibles, please, turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to be preaching from verses 21, 22, and 23. Matthew chapter 7, 21 to 23. This is from God's word. These are the words of Jesus. These are not my words. But Jesus himself says there's many who think they're going to heaven, and they're not. Now, he says in John chapter 10 that he's the door. He should know. Notice how each verse begins. Just look at verse 21. Would you read the first three words out loud with me? Not everyone. Okay, stop there. Now go to verse 22 and read the first five words. Many will say to me. So not everyone, and many will say. And then verse 23, all the way to the comma, read with me. And then will I profess unto them. Folks, it doesn't matter what you say. It matters what he says. Verses 21 and 22 are what you may say about, well, I'm going to heaven. Jesus said, not everyone who says that. And many will say to me in that day, then will I profess unto them. How sobering this is. You see, salvation is more than you making a profession. It is Jesus Christ in that day, verse 22, making a confession about you. Self-deception is easy. People do it all the time. You've done it. Self-deception about your eternal destiny is easy and dangerous. You've heard about Josh Harris, the 21-year-old young man who everybody was reading his book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye, and so forth and so on. Here's a man who one time professed to be a Christian and led others in the same way. And in the last couple of weeks, he just announced, I am no longer a Christian. Many people are surprised. You mean he lost his salvation? No, he never was a Christian. Just like many people will stand before the Lord one day having deceived themselves, and they will say, well, I'm a Christian, and he will say, I never knew you. There's somebody almost all of you know whom I will not name, who once professed to be a Christian, once right here in this church, once a member of this church who has said, I am no longer a Christian. There may be some of you who one day will say, you know what? I'm really not a Christian. Notice in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus says, many will say to me in that day. There is a day coming, a day of judgment, a day when men and women and children will stand before the Lord. That day is soon to be here. Many who on that day, who thought they would be a part of the kingdom of heaven, will be denied entrance. And instead will be told, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. But the righteous unto life eternal. And think about this. For those of you who truly do know the Lord Jesus Christ, to those of you who could sing this morning when we all get to heaven, and you could sing that as your own testimony, you know what? When you get to that day, it'll be a day of both surprises and disappointments. Because many who you thought were going to be in heaven won't be there. And it could be the person sitting beside you, behind you, or in front of you. Well, he was a member of Westside Baptist Church. Being a member does not save you. So you think I'm not throwing doubts in people's minds so you go, well, I don't know if I'm saved. No, it's not the purpose of this. Because if you're truly saved, if you're truly trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone and nothing else for your salvation, you have that assurance. When you fall into sin, you can lose that assurance. But knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot lose your salvation. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. If it's everlasting, you can't lose something that's everlasting. And so you put your full faith and trust in what Jesus Christ said in his word. But there are some who don't know. And that may be you this morning. Perhaps some friends, Some relatives who thought would join us in heaven won't be there. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. You see, these three verses of the Sermon on the Mount is a very sobering portion. Jesus is speaking in this entire chapter of Matthew chapter 7. He's speaking about judgment. The entire chapter is about judgment. Everybody knows verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Even the liberals know that verse because they're constantly quoting it. Not understanding what Jesus is saying. He's not saying don't ever judge. He's saying before you judge, judge yourself. So you look at verses 1 through 6 of Matthew chapter 7, and it's judgment of self. Before you judge somebody else, judge yourself. Then look at verses 7 through 12. We're not reading it, but then you see judgment in giving. And then verses 13 to 14, judgment of direction. And then verses 15 to 20, judgment of deceivers, false prophets, false preachers, false evangelists. And then you get to verses 21 to 23 where we are this morning, and you see the judgment of the self-deceived. So you go from verses 15 to 20, from judgment of false prophets to verses 21 to 23 to judgment of false professors. And so I want us to see this morning the characteristics of the self-deceived. And so if we're looking at characteristics of somebody who's deceiving himself, ask yourself, is that me? Is this characteristic true of me? Three characteristics. Number one, we're going to look at the face of the self-deceived. The face of the self-deceived. Then we're going to look at the faith of the self-deceived. Then we're going to look at the fate of the self-deceived. Verse 21, we see the face of the self-deceived. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, we describe a person's face to identify him. Sometimes we say, you know, what's his face? And we think of somebody's face when we're trying to remember somebody. We can't see the heart, so we're easily influenced by somebody's face. And what comes out of that face's mouth? Well, what are they saying is the first question or the first statement I want to make about the face of these self-deceived. What are they saying? When you look at verse 21, what do they say? Two words. Lord, Lord. Why not just one? Why not just Lord? Lord, Lord, Lord. The repetition expresses earnestness. It expresses sincerity. You know how we are often so persuaded and convinced by what people say? And if they can say words in such a way like, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know the devil can say those words. And he can say them with all kinds of sincerity to fool people. And so we often think, well, when people say amen, well, that's got to be a Christian. Lord, Lord. This is what they're saying now. Lord, Lord, Lord. You can say all the right things and remain outside. I can go through so many illustrations. I'm thinking of a guy I went to college with, seminary with. This guy, he could teach the New Testament. He was such a good teacher. And a few years ago, I heard that he had become an agnostic. He taught Greek. He knew his Bible. Became an agnostic. You can say the right things and remain outside. Salvation is not repetition of words or, well, I did say a prayer once. Jesus once said, this people honoreth me with their mouth. They draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Lord, Lord. The musician, when he sings, tears run down his face and we go, he's so sincere, he's got to be a Christian. And the preacher can weep when he preaches, and he can tell stories that make everybody's tears jerk out of their eyes. And you would think, well, he's got to be a Christian. You know, if you call Jesus Lord and don't do what he says, it is a flagrant inconsistency to pretend that he's your master. In fact, Jesus said, Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why are you calling me Lord, Lord? Kind of interesting. Lord, Lord, as you see in Matthew 7:21, and Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" 1 John 2:24, the Apostle John writes, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And notice what Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those who shall enter," verse 14, "are those who go through the narrow gate that leads onto a narrow road." But we think that the way to go is where everybody is going, that the majority has to be right, and we've got to jump onto the bandwagon because surely these many people can't be wrong. I'll tell you something. The majority of this world is wrong, and the majority of this world is on the way to hell. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, judgment of direction. Jesus talks about the many there and the few there. Take it from what he says about how many people are going to heaven. What they are saying, Lord, Lord. Secondly, what they are ignoring. What are they ignoring in verse 21? "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Not all implies there will be some. Some who say, Lord, Lord, will enter, but not all. Those who will enter are those whose profession of Lord, Lord is evidenced by their obedience, who are doing the will of God. Don't you wish you could know the will of God? You know what? If you could just know the will of God, wouldn't you be glad to do it? Not all people can really truly say that. They would say, "If I would just know the will of God, I would do it." But then they're thinking, "Well, I hope it's this, because then I would do it." But don't you wish that there was just a clear statement in the Bible that says, "This is the will of God"? Did you know there is such a statement? Now, I can quote it, but I want you to see it. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. See this statement that's made in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll begin reading with verse 1. "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in," here's that word again, "sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what?" Three times in verses 3, 4, and 7, the word for holiness is used there. You know what the will of God is for every man, woman, and child? This is the will of God, even your, out loud please, sanctification, even your holiness. Well, how can you be holy? How can you do it? Because the Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. How can I be holy? You can't. Then why would it say this is the will of God, that even your sanctification? Because you must rely upon he who is holy. See, the Bible says, "For God hath made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I can only be holy in Jesus Christ. That's why you can't save yourself. I must put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the only holy one who ever walked upon the face of this earth. Every other man, woman, and child has sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ was completely holy. No guile was found in his mouth. How can you be holy? By him taking upon himself your sin. Because of self-deceit, folks, we can think we're doing the will of God when we're actually doing the will of people we respect. We do the will of our peers. We do the will of our wives. We do the will of our husbands. We do the will of our relatives. We do the will of our church. We do the will of our pastor. But he that doeth the will of God. And you can deceive yourself. I think there was an Old Testament prophet who said something like this: the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord. That's Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. You can deceive yourself. Here's the face of the deceived, of the self-deceived: not everyone that saith unto me. But now let's move on. Look at the faith of the self-deceived in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Many will say to me. And today, people, in fact, we do this. Well, he's got to be saved. Look at the things he does. And it's true, that's all we can see. And it is true that a man's testimony has a lot to do with whether I can say, well, the fruit's not there or the fruit is there. And so that does have an influence on me. But ultimately, folks, I, the Lord, search the heart. Look at the object of their faith. Have we not? Somebody asked me once, do the deceived know that they are unsaved? Or does he actually think he's saved? Answer that question in your own mind. Does a man who was unsaved know he is unsaved? Not all the time. Again, we're talking about self-deception. Now, there are some who know they're not saved. And yet, they try to act like they're saved. This very same chapter are the prophets who are wolves in sheep's clothing. They know they're a wolf, but they put on the cloak to fool you. These are the ones who can cry tears of sincerity, and you follow after them and you find out, man, there's a wolf under that sheep's clothing. But it is possible for you to deceive yourself. Judas Iscariot. As an example, does someone who is self-deceived know he is unsaved? Very often, he does not know. He has deceived himself. We're talking about the characteristics of self-deceived here. Many who think they're on their way to heaven are self-deceived. They're placing their faith in what they do while ignoring the condition of their heart. That day will reveal what they were really trusting in. Many will say, refers to the many of verse 13. Go back to verse 13. Many there be which go in thereat. Go in what? The path that leads to destruction. And many will say to me in that day. What are they going to say? Let's read what Jesus says they're going to say. Number one, have we not prophesied? Have we not prophesied? This isn't necessarily talking about somebody foretelling the future. This is somebody who not only foretells, but forthtells the word of God. Can a man get up in the pulpit and preach the word of God, even see souls saved, and then later on deny he was ever a Christian? Absolutely. When Jesus sent out the 12 and then the 70, who was included in that? Judas Iscariot. Did not Judas see results, folks? You say, well, I don't know. I'll tell you, he had to have seen results. Otherwise, the other 11 would go, now, what's going on with this guy? Why is this not working for him? Then how were the results multiplying in what Judas was doing if he's not a Christian? You think there could be any demonism involved? Have we not prophesied? This is to speak for God. Listen, folks, there are going to be many clergymen who will not be in heaven. Secondly, have we not cast out demons? Here we go. It is possible for demons to be cast out. Judas and all of Jesus' disciples, it says in Luke 10:17, returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Here's something that Martin Luther once said. It is a minor matter for the devil to let himself be expelled, even by an evil fellow if he chooses, and yet to remain unexpelled. By this abominable deception, he possesses and traps the people even more completely. And so Jesus, at the end of this chapter, when he said, when the disciples returned with joy, saying, man, we've cast out devils in your name, Jesus said this, Luke 10:20, rejoice not that the spirits, the demons, are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The people here in Matthew 7:22 are rejoicing because the demons. Have we not cast out many demons? Jesus says, that's not what you rejoice in. What you rejoice in is your name written in heaven? Have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out demons? Thirdly, have we not done many wonderful works? Notice the contrast, what we have done and he that does God's will. Have we not done? That's not what matters, folks. He that doeth God's will. Man, look at the programs. Look how active he or she is. Wonderful works, literally, dynamic things. Impressive ministries, large crowds, perhaps things that look like miracles, things that look like wonders. Pharaoh's magicians mimicked some of Moses' works. Turned the rods into serpents, water into blood, called up the frogs to cover the land. That always cracks me up. There's all these frogs covering the land, and the magicians call up more. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. There's coming a day when the Antichrist is going to be able to do things and his false prophet are going to be able to deceive people. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, speaking of this Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? Revelation 13:13-14, and he doeth great wonders and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. I know that people will say this to the Lord. I know that people are going to say, have we not done many wonderful works to the Lord one day? I know that. Why? Because they say it to me and to you. You look at a movement, a religious movement, a spiritual movement, and people will say, look at the wonderful things that are happening. Or look at this organization, look at this church, look at this ministry. And people say, that's got to be of the Lord. Look at the wonderful things that are happening. Look at the people who are being saved. Doesn't matter how it's happening, but they're getting saved and whatever means it takes for people to be saved. Folks, I know they're going to say this to Jesus one day because they say it even now as they look at movements, organizations, ministries, churches, and so forth, and they say, it's got to be Christian. Look at the wonderful things that are happening. It's interesting in the original language when it says, when you have the question mark at the end of each one of those, have we not prophesied in a name? Have we not in thy name cast out devils? Have we not in thy name done many wonderful works? By the way, every one of them is in thy name, in thy name, in thy name. And in the Greek, every one of those questions expects an affirmative answer. In other words, they stand before the Lord one day and say, Lord, have we not prophesied? Yes. Have we not done many, have we not cast out demons? Yes. Have we not done many wonderful works? Yes. So they're not only deceived, they're conceited. All three of these things are performed by the means of his name. Folks, there's much done in the name of the Lord that is not done for the Lord. Oh, we get so impressed when some person uses the name of Jesus Christ positively. An athlete. And we go, oh, I didn't know he was a Christian. Maybe it's because he's not. Some politician. I mean, think of the word politician. He will do and say anything to deceive you to vote for him or her. These people in Matthew 7 are not trusting in a person, they're trusting in their own works. Their faith was in what they did. There's the object of their faith, have we not? Then look at the profession of their faith. To whom are they saying this? Matthew 7, 22, many will say to me. They'll say this to Jesus. You see, John 5, 22 and 27 says that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son and hath given him authority to execute judgment. He's the one who in verse 23 says, depart from me. He's the one who gives the judgment. They profess their faith to me. And then we see the exposure of their faith in the three words, in that day. This is what Jesus will say in that day of judgment. I think of a day like this when it's kind of gloomy outside. And I think of Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 15, where it says that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. You know what it's like when the sun's out and it's like around 70, 75 degrees. Everybody comes in with their spirits just, this is, and you walk in a day like this and everybody's just kind of like, It's cool outside, but Folks, if this is a day of gloom, think of that day, a day of gloominess. The exposure of their faith in that day. And then we see lastly the fate of the self-deceived in verse 23, then will I profess to them. Verse 21 was their face, what they say now. Verse 22 is their faith, what they will say. Verse 23 is their fate, what Jesus will say to them. What they profess contradicts what Jesus will profess or openly declare about them. Three things. Number one, I never knew you. Does that send chills down your spine? For Jesus one day to say, I never knew you. You know, we say, you know, how can you be opposed to such and such? How can you say that about them? That's a Christian organization. You shouldn't say that. Well, Jesus will say it about them one day. Literally, never did I know you. That indicates that they couldn't have been saved and lost it. He never knew them. Because even during the time they claimed to be saved, Jesus never did know them. Folks, listen to me. It is not who you profess to know. It's who Jesus confesses to know. The very same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. He knows about you. He knows your name. He's watched your life. But he never knew you as one of his people. No intimate relationship, no intimate fellowship. When my dad was on his deathbed, dying of cancer in Tulsa, Oklahoma, our family would gather around him, and I and my brothers would every day bring a challenge from the Bible, and we'd sing. And I plainly remember going to Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, where the Bible says, "The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble." And a smile came over my dad's face. But that's not the part that made him smile. Yes, the Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. But here's how that verse ends. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Now that would bother some people. But I saw a smile. We hadn't seen him smile in days. And he said, "That's good." Can you say that's good? The Lord knows them who trust in him. Can you say that? Or does that scare you? Jesus says, "I know my sheep. I know them." "I never knew you," he says. And then he says, "Ye that work iniquity." Wait, go back to verse 22. Casting out demons? Casting out demons? Is a work of iniquity? Prophesying in his name? Doing many wonderful works? All these things in his name? Works of iniquity? That's what he's saying. You who practice lawlessness. You see, we live in a day that's a day of toleration, a day of no absolutes, a day where people say no one can be right. We're told to accept and to respect all opinions, to celebrate academic freedom, diversity of lifestyles, religious interpretations. Everybody wants to get along as we travel along this wide road and walk in harmony and hand in hand as we walk the path to destruction. And there are a lot of professing Christians who actually make better agnostics and atheists than they do Christians. In that day, only one group of people will be right. Those who entered the narrow gate and walked the narrow way in obedience to the will of God. So four words, "I never knew you." Four again, "Ye that work iniquity." And then the last three that I'm talking about in this outline, "Depart from me." Literally, "Go away from me." Matthew 25 says, "Then he shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Revelation 20 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, a man's pride leads to self-deception and self-destruction. Notice, it's self-destruction. Do you have the face of somebody who's deceiving himself? Somebody who professes to know the Lord when he does not really know you? Do you have the faith of self-deception? Trusting in a prayer you once prayed, what you do, your list of accomplishments, rather than faith in what he has done for you? You will share the fate of the self-deceived. And you will hear him say, "Never did I know you. All that you did to impress me are works of lawlessness. Go away from me." Today you can know the promise of John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." If you don't know you're on your way to heaven this morning, before you leave, you can know. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Do you know? And if you say yes, second question is, are you deceiving yourself?